100 plus. Who will be a tunnel bus? Starter said legitimate. Follow all the hosts on Twitter.
All right, welcome to the show. It is Monday, June 26th, and we're starting off Fantasy Week 13 with this piece of hot advice from Heath Cummings. Who'd you lead your waiver wire column with?
I led my waiver wire column with Carlos Rodon, and the theme today was young left-handed pitching, because there's three of them coming back this week: Rodon, Finnegan, and Blake Snell. Maybe all three will suck, but let's give them a shot.
Okay, and Rodon apparently is your favorite?
Yeah, Rodon's my favorite. He was everybody's favorite coming into the year. We thought he had a chance to be a top 30 starting pitcher. Had that stretch at the end of 2016 where he only walked 20 hitters in his last 66 innings at a 3.11 ERA. There, we know if he can just control the walks, he's an ace.
Yeah, all right. Carlos Rodon is 64% owned. Chris Towers, who are you picking up?
I'll take a flyer on Blake Snell. I don't feel good about it, but you talk about guys with upside, and that's all I care about, starting pitcher is upside. That guy's got upside.
And he did this recent stretch down in the minor leagues, and it minor league numbers don't always mean anything, but it was his lowest walk rate, 3.1 walk per nine, that he's ever had at any level.
Yeah. No, that's good.
It's encouraging.
Chris, shouldn't you care about a little bit more than just upside at this point? Like, there's got to be something else that matters.
No.
Nope.
What?
Chris.
How could that be?
I'm still just trying to chase upside.
But, like, what about, you know, what about downside? Not that you're
everybody
chasing.
Everybody has downside. If there's one thing this season has shown, it's that everybody has downside.
So who's a pitcher that maybe doesn't have that much upside? Like, do you think
Jose Quintana?
Okay, yeah. I mean, obviously Chris likes Quintana. But you like Tyone. You think Tyone has a lot of upside, or do you just think his upside is like Quintana?
I think Tyone's very safe, actually. Tyone is someone that I think is really safe, and
but he doesn't have much upside. He goes against your philosophy.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm about to pick up Keon Broxton in a league. We're going to talk more and more about players to add, players to drop. This is a league that does not factor in plate discipline. Keon Broxton's plate discipline is terrible, although maybe I'll pick up Shin-Soo Chu, who I did add in a head-to-head points league because he is walking all the time. Anyway, it is our Monday show. We'll look at everything that happened over the weekend. I'm going to brag about a fantasy team. I think you already know which one it is. I'm going to give you the stat of the day from the New York Daily News. Sunday was the 27th straight day in the major leagues that a player has hit multiple home runs in the same game. A record 27 double dong days in a row. Thank you, New York Daily News. And it was Cody Bellinger, which...
all 27 have been Cody Bellinger, I'm pretty sure.
Pretty much. Why don't we start, guys, with Franklin Barreto, Luis Castillo, and any other minor leaguers you want to talk about? Well, we talk, you know, Blake Snell coming back from the minors. Franklin Barreto, 39% owned. I dropped Jose Peraza for him.
Yep.
His minor league numbers weren't so great this year in the PCL. Tell me what you expect from him. And by the way, it's not even certain how long Barreto will be up for the A's, but he has played two games and he's 4-for-10.
He was in the waiver wire column as well. I pretty much agree with everything that you said. The thing is, he's going to be a shortstop with upside, and we just shortstop's so terrible.
He's a shortstop with a pulse.
Yeah. I do think there's some risk that he's sent back down, but it's not for very long. Because I don't expect Jed Lowry or Marcus Semien to be a part of the Athletics' future. Barreto clearly is. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a lot of concerns about long-term playing time. He's got top 10 shortstop potential. I don't believe he's not going to jump into that tier with Seager, Correa, and those guys. This is not that type of prospect.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The way you ended that sentence, it really sounded like you had more to say. Right, Chris? Did you feel that?
It really did, yeah. And he's not a great he's stolen a lot of bases in the minor leagues, but he hasn't been great at it. He's about 70% success rate, I would guess. He's 4-for-11 in AAA overall, but you know, has the potential to be a high 700s OPS, and if the Athletics let him run, you'll at least get points for the stolen bases and you won't lose them if he gets caught stealing in Roto.
Luis Castillo was part of a fight between Team Kreath this morning before the podcast even started. I got very upset with Chris, and I'm still kind of mad at him about it.
Oh, nice.
Because I had crafted a plan we're facing a team with six starts. We've gone with the reliever strategy for most of the year. It's led us to a very mediocre record, but a nice 8-2 victory over Team Scam last week.
Thank you for seamlessly working that in.
You're welcome. This week, we're facing a team that has six starts. We've got Sean Newcomb, who doesn't show as a two-start pitcher on our site, but I'm still pretty sure is going to be. We've got David Price. We've got Luis Castillo. We've got Lance Lynn. And we've got Robert Gsellman with two starts, one against the Phillies. And my thought was, let's go for it all this week. We need a big week. Let's start them all, seven starts to his six. And Chris just shot me down and put all the relievers back in.
Well, because you heard the names of those guys that we were starting. And it's not just
you
that.
Hate Lance Lynn. He's good.
It's Lance Lynn at Arizona. It's Luis Castillo against the Brewers. And it's Robert Gsellman. I don't see how we could have gone with it.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, though, because I want to talk about Castillo. Last I checked, he was 8% owned, and that was after he walked five batters against the Nationals. And it just seems to me like that's jitters. That's his first major league start. He is not a guy with control issues in the minors, and really good stuff. I mean, he throws almost 100 miles per hour, Luis Castillo. Maybe like 98 miles per hour, which is kind of almost 100. But I think Luis Castillo might be very under-owned at 8%. Not saying you have to pick him up. I'm not saying you have to start him if you do have him, like Kreith. But don't be fooled by the five walks. I think that may have had more to do with his major league debut than real control issues. He didn't have any control issues in the minors.
He did hit 100 a couple times, averaged 98 with his fastball.
Yeah, I watched the start, and it was impressive. He's got a changeup and a slider, mostly a fastball pitcher, but that's a hell of a fastball. So for a guy who's 8% owned, I think there's room to grow there for Luis Castillo. Meanwhile, the Brewers sent Lewis Brinson down. And did you guys have a nice weekend?
Meh.
Oh, why?
Eh. It was okay.
I had a great weekend, Adam. Thank you for asking. I went to brunch yesterday.
We didn't actually ask what you did.
Thrift store
just asked
shopping.
How it was.
I did all kinds of millennial things.
You still go to thrift stores?
My friend found, Heath, this will mean nothing to you, but Adam, you might be young enough. He found a jean jacket with the All That logo embroidered on the back.
The Nickelodeon
it's
thing?
The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
And he bought it?
Or yes.
The hell's the matter with you people?
It was $8.
You're in your 30s.
You're in your 30s. I'm in my 20s.
You are?
We do
I know. I always forget how old you are. I always forget. Well, all right, you're in your 20s. Listen, that makes sense then. Thank you guys for asking. I had a great weekend too. I appreciate it. Third Eye Blind was outstanding. What an awesome concert. And I'm really exhausted as a result. You want to talk ad drops? Anything crazy?
I already talked about the guys that I picked up mostly. Snell, I got Finnegan in a couple different spots.
Okay. If you're in a head-to-head points league and Shinsu Chu is available, I really think you got Adam. He's walking so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's scoring 22-ish points every single week. I'm starting him over Michael Conforto, who got hit by a pitch on Sunday, and they're not sure if he'll be ready for Tuesday. But I don't know if you guys have noticed, Granderson's been red hot. Like, yep. Conforto might get squeezed temporarily out of some playing time here. It's worrisome.
Which is just so dumb.
Well, he's been bad for like a month now. I mean,
that's fine.
He
let
has,
him play.
He doesn't have an long extended track record of being what he was. I mean,
he doesn't have to be
out over his skis for a month.
He doesn't have to be what he was for the first month. He's still better than Curtis Granderson.
Well,
not right now. Granderson's hot.
If you go through both of their careers since Conforto made his debut, Conforto's clearly been a better player.
Okay, but I'm just, you know, he's been very cold, and Granderson is very hot right now. And
the hot hand approach, Chris.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking for a reason to sit Conforto, you've got your reason.
I don't think I wouldn't start Conforto this week.
Additionally, I added Danny Barnes, Blue Jays reliever, and now we have dropped Danny Barnes, Blue Jays reliever, because Roberto Osuna returned from anxiety and pitched on Sunday, and they say if he needs a day here or there, he'll take it, but looks like you can start Ozuna. I wish I'd added Blake Snell. He talked about that. He's at Pittsburgh this week. Not sure I'm going to start him, but want to add him. And then, like, I don't know, there's all these outfielders that not only are they hot, but maybe they have some staying power. Trey Mancini, I picked him up in a 14-team head-to-head points league. Jinsu Chu, 12-team points league. Not Carlos Gomez. I'm not picking him up, but I would. Keon Broxton. Keon Broxton's red hot right now. They have good matchups this week. I think I'm going to pick him up in a 12-team categories league right now because I have Fowler on the DL. I don't know, guys. Like, the outfielders, every day we talk about them, but Mancini, Chu, Gomez, Broxton, these guys are killing it. Interested in them?
Definitely Chu in a points league. Definitely Mancini and Roto.
Yeah. Okay.
Those would be my two favorites out of that group. I have a hard time buying into Keon Broxton. He strikes out so much.
Yeah. And he was so cold.
And he doesn't have the elite power to make up for it.
No, but we're about halfway through the season, not even. And Keon Broxton has 13 steals and 13 homers.
Yeah.
So in a categories league, he's close to 30-30. It's crazy.
Yeah, yes, he's going to help you a lot in those two categories. He's going to really hurt you in batting average, I would assume.
Okay.
Or on base. Both.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pick up both. This is what I'm going to do right now. I'm dropping Dexter Fowler for Keon Broxton. Fowler's on the DL. And I'm dropping Andrelton Simmons, since I'm going to get my steals with Broxton. I'm going to drop Simmons and pick up Chu, and that'll help me in on base. Chris, you haven't talked enough. Anything you want to, any words of wisdom you want to give to the fantasy owners out there?
Did you say you wouldn't pick up Carlos Gomez?
I would, but not over Chu, not over Chu, as Maroon 5 would say. Not over, I don't know if I'd pick him up over Broxton. They're pretty similar to me, but at least I get the steals with Broxton. Not over Mancini.
I have a hard time ignoring the fact that Carlos Gomez has an 866 OPS since getting to Texas. Basically half a year, 80 games. He's got 18 homers and 11 stolen bases. I have a hard time just ignoring that.
Yeah, it's totally fair. It's hard to explain how bad he was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of damage over the last week or so since coming back off the DL, but I don't know, there seems to be something there. He's a different player. He's not quite as much of a power speed guy. He's actually been more of a power hitter since getting to Texas. And, you know, maybe that makes sense given the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So there are some options for you. Let's go through the big news. Yu Darvish left Friday start with triceps tightness. I haven't seen any update on it, so I'm assuming Darvish is fine. Have you guys seen anything?
I have not seen anything at all.
Okay. So I think Darvish should be just fine. Corey Seager could miss a few games with a hamstring strain, and he might go on the DL. So you should be careful starting Corey Seager this week. Freddie Freeman could be back in a little more than a week. Blake Snell is going to replace Erasmo Ramirez in the rotation for the Rays. Fowler's on the DL. Who are they? The Cardinals. They called up Randall Grichuk. Anybody interested in Randall Grichuk?
Yeah, he hits the ball hard, but he's been pretty bad for a while, and I'm not sure he's better than Tommy Pham.
And you just talked about all these outfielders that are widely available on the waiver wire, and I'd rather have all of them than Grichuk.
Yeah. Would you rather have Grichuk or Michael Taylor?
Grichuk.
Okay. San Francisco called up third baseman Ryder Jones. Ryder Jones, very cool name. Anyone
Great
interested
name.
In Ryder Jones?
No, but a cool name.
Yeah, cool name. All right, then. Infielder Adam Rosales for the Oakland A's. He hit a home run yesterday, and then he set the record in StatCast era for the fastest home run trot of the StatCast era. Did you see him? He just motored around the bases.
I feel like he is, like, the king of that.
He is, but this was his fastest one yet. He really, really gave it his all.
15.9 seconds. There you go.
It's pretty fast. Carlos Rodon, his start this week will either be against the Yankees or the Rangers. So are you starting Rodon this week?
No. But you should roster Rodon.
Yes. If he's available, he's must-own.
Andrew Moore was sent to the minors for the Mariners, but he'll be back when they need a fifth starting pitcher. And David Price has a fingernail issue. He is expected to make his next start, but you never know. You never know. Hey, I'm 24-0. It's really all I gotta say. We're 24-0, me and Jamie. 24-0.
I'm greatly looking forward to how this all blows up in the playoffs.
Heath just keeps changing his team name to Troll Me, and it just, it doesn't, and there's nothing to stop this team. Like, I can jinx us on the air every single week. It doesn't matter. We win every week. Chris, good effort. You almost beat me. Beat the crap out of you at the end of the day. You gave me a little bit of a scare for a few days. We handled you. 24-0.
Please tell me more about your fantasy team.
It's incredible. Have you ever even been 12-0?
Also, it's a fantasy podcast.
Have you, like, 12-0 would be something. 24-0? Two teams a week?
Who all is on your team, Adam?
That
Who
was
had a
Keuchel.
Big week for you this week?
Paul Goldschmidt, and Paul Goldschmidt's been carrying me. So, there you go. Made a great move taking him over Altuve. Great move. Here are a few pitchers I'm intrigued by. They're owned in a, let's say about half our leagues. Mike Foltynewicz has really
Let's
been.
Let's not do this.
What?
Let's not do this with Mike Foltynewicz.
Hey, look, he's been more good than bad for a while now.
He's a fine guy to pick up, start when he has a great matchup, and then send back down.
I don't know that I want to, like, I'd put him on my bench.
Well, no, but that's the problem. If you're just picking him up to hold on to him on your roster, you're never going to get to the point to where he does it consistently enough that you feel comfortable. You got to play roulette with Mike Foltynewicz.
I think he's
going to try to guess the good start.
I think he's been a little bit more consistent. That's why he's in this section. Foltynewicz, I think, has been a little bit more consistent than we're giving him credit for. He had a spectacular blow up against the Nationals.
He was good in 4 out of 5 starts in the month of June so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very nice for him.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Denelson Lamet had 2 terrible starts, but I think for a rookie, he's shown some good stuff, and he's got 10 walks, 42 strikeouts in 30 innings. And Joe Ross is putting it together a little bit. He's been a little bit more consistent. So again, these are not pitchers that I'm saying you must add their must starts or anything, but I'm intrigued by Folty, Lamet, and Joe Ross.
I'm extremely intrigued by Denelson Lamet. The strikeout rate, 12.6 per nine, and that's a bit inflated, but still 32%. It's very good, and he was a very good strikeout pitcher at AAA this season. He's been a very good strikeout pitcher, and the stuff is pretty good. You know, he did have those. He had the first 2 starts where we got kind of excited about him, and then he blew up, and we kind of got scared off. But I think there's something here.
Right. So is he your favorite? Do you like Denelson Lamet better than Joe Ross?
No.
I still like Joe Ross more, but I like both of them considerably more than Mike Foltynewicz. We know who Mike Foltynewicz is.
Okay, then. Well, let's find out who people are adding and take a look at the most added list on CBSSports.com. Nick Pivetta. So Pivetta with 2 really good starts in a row, and now I just wish he had easier matchups this week. He's a 2-start pitcher, and I think I'm leaving him on the bench at Arizona and at the Mets. What do you think about Pivetta?
Yep, I picked him up. I dropped Nicholas Castellanos, but I'm not starting him.
And what's the theme song going to be? Is it going to be We Didn't Start Mike Fiers, or We Are Going to Start Mike Fiers this week against Oakland and the Yankees at home?
I think you got to start him.
I mean, okay. You got to start him.
You got to start
him.
You
can start him.
You have very mediocre pitching staffs. There's somebody worse on your pitching staff than Mike Fiers.
I don't know, man.
Would you start a 1-start Masahiro Tanaka at the White Sox or a 2-start yes. Mike Fiers?
I would rather start Tanaka.
Oh, man.
I guess in points you might rather start
Fiers. I think
Fiers.
In points I'd start Fiers.
Okay. Hyunjin Ryu is the 3rd most added player. 2 starts, Angels, and at the Padres.
That's an outstanding set of matchups. I don't like Hyunjin Ryu, but I would definitely start him with those 2 matchups.
Franklin Barreto is 4. Carlos Gomez is 5. He's 65% owned. Jose Urena is 6.
Why?
He's been good lately.
He's a 1-start pitcher.
He's a 1-start pitcher. How good has he been?
He's got a 3.33 ERA for the season.
Yeah, but a 1.25 whip and 44 strikeouts and 70 and a third. Every year I ask you guys about Urena because he puts together a little bit of a stretch, and every year you guys are like, no, I'm not interested. So is that the same answer?
He's kind of like the poor man's Edison Volquez. Like, you watch him pitch and everything looks good, and then the results are not there. Like, he doesn't strike guys out and you think he should. So I don't.
He's got a 5.04 FIP.
Yeah. No, I'm just telling you the results have been good. I'm not saying he should be added that way, but that's why.
Is any pitcher who just doesn't really strike out batters going to have a higher FIP?
a higher – I'm sorry. Are you saying that if you don't strike anyone out, you're automatically going to have a high FIP?
Higher yeah. Well, it just doesn't lead you to having a higher FIP.
Well, if you are an elite ground ball pitcher that also doesn't walk anyone, then you can have low strikeouts and a low FIP.
All right. Back to the most added list. We're not really interested in Jose Urena. Mike Zunino is 64% owned. Matt Adams is 77% owned. Yelich Cien has two home starts this week. He's been good at home. He's 32% owned. Matt Davidson, 35%. How about Scooter Gennett? Scooter Gennett is 31% owned. And he's, look it up here. He has been hot. He is 4 home runs and 3 doubles in his last 7 games. Wow.
That's not really that impressive. I mean, he hit 4 home runs in 1 game earlier this year.
And then after that 4-homer game, he hit .217 with 1 extra base hit in his next 7. And then the last 7, nearly a 1,400 OPS for Scooter Gennett. And he's got only one lefty on the schedule with 7 games this week, and he's much better against righties.
Has he played every day?
I don't know.
Because that was days. It kind of looks like it.
Yeah, if he's only got one lefty on the schedule, he's a fine streaming option this week.
But not, 'cause
his playing time has significantly increased this week.
But not
he did not play much at all last week.
Not buying Gennett long term.
No.
No.
All right. And Cameron Maben is 67% owned. So how does Maben fit in with Mancini, with Gomez, Broxton, all the outfielders we talked about? Cameron Maben, by the way.
I think Maben's probably at the top of that group.
Yeah, and this is could be a good week for him because he's got 6 lefties on. The Angels are playing 6 lefties this week, 5 or 6.
I'd rather have Chu in a points league, and I think I'd rather have Gomez in a points league.
In a points league? Wait a second.
Maben's the top.
But Gomez, Maben's had great plate discipline. Gomez has terrible plate discipline. Why would you rather
have Gomez? Is a better hitter.
A lot still.
Gomez is a better hitter?
Yes.
All right. Maben, this is some hot streak for him. So good matchups this week. I know he's in Scott's sleeper hitters column. No truth to the report that Scott White is suspended for a show for yelling at me. Actually, I went back. I listened to Friday's show. Chris, did you listen to Friday's show?
No, I did not.
Oh, wow. You always listen.
I heard things got a little awkward. I couldn't do it, you know.
It sounded like I was the aggressor when I listened back. I think I overreacted.
That was not the sense I had sitting
I
in
believe
this
it.
Seat.
I often am the aggressor, but I think I was just – I got really passionate, and I think I overreacted a little bit. I have to apologize.
I think I'm probably responsible for throwing in the Falcons blowing a 25-point lead at the very beginning of the show.
The dumbest thing that you said, which was also the most brilliant thing that you said, Scott was talking about how all these teams have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And you said, that's the dumbest thing you said. And you're like, Scott's like, what? You thought the Falcons had a chance to win the Super Bowl last year? And you go, they didn't. Which was a ridiculous. Like, they definitely did have a chance to win the Super Bowl, Heath. But that's Heath for you.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, Adam.
Uh-huh.
Heath's kind of a troll.
A little bit.
No.
He just kind of says something.
I just said facts.
He just says things to get under people's skin sometimes.
Not true at all.
He's very good at it. How are you feeling about the beard? How long are we keeping it? It looks like you trimmed it.
I didn't trim it.
Oh.
But I trimmed a little bit. I have not shortened it yet. I don't know how long I'm going to keep it. Probably until somebody tells me to shave it off.
Okay. Right, I don't think off. Anyone's going to tell you that, Chris.
Somebody else.
Fair enough. Looking at the bullpen, guys, you see any major storylines developing out of the bullpen? Any bullpen.
Any bullpen in baseball.
You want me to give you some suggestions?
We've talked about this a couple times. I'm not a huge fan of trying to stash middle relievers in the hopes that you can, one, predict who the best reliever is going to be, and then, two, predict when a manager is going to change his mind. But I am interested in doing that with Aroldis Vizcaino.
Yes.
To a certain extent. I'm not saying he's a mustache, but he looks like a much better pitcher than James Johnson. He has been a better pitcher 2 out of the last 3 years. And it seems like a situation where Vizcaino is going to get a shot at some point.
Now, you either are very close friends with Jim Johnson, or you were just in basketball mode because you called
him
James.
I called him James Johnson.
You sure did, yeah.
Free agency is coming
James
up.
James is the more formal, right? Like,
yeah.
If they were good friends, you would have called him Jimmy Johnson.
I guess that's true.
Jimothy.
I don't even know if it's a matter of replacing Johnson, because Johnson's been all right, but it's a matter of they should trade Jim Johnson, in my opinion.
Right. I just think whether it's through performance or through a trade, Vizcaino's going to be the closer at some point, I think.
You know, there's been a lot of talk on the Twitter net lately about the Angels bullpen, and they have done a great job picking guys up off the scrap heap and getting great years out of them. Blake Parker is having an awesome year. He's one of those relievers that you can own just for the ratios and the strikeouts. And Yusmeiro Petit is having a really good year. I didn't even realize that until yesterday, but Petit got a two-inning save after Bedrosian struggled in a save situation on Saturday. But I think it's still Bedrosian's job, right? I tried to find a quote that it was Petit's, and there was nothing of that sort.
I believe it is Bedrosian's job, but I do not believe he has a very firm grip on that job.
Okay, so I feel like Blake Parker would be a better substitute than Petit, because Petit, they've been throwing for more than three outs.
He's a long guy.
Yeah. And Parker pitched, I think, the seventh yesterday. So that's one worth watching. The Nationals bullpen, hoping Kota Glover comes off the DL and gets that back, but any Romero, he pitched the ninth inning in a tie game on Friday, which is at home, which is what you do if you're the closer. Matt Albers pitched the 10th. I have no idea there. Kenley Jansen walked his first batter of the year yesterday. He has one walk and 52 strikeouts.
Have you looked at his numbers over the last calendar year?
No.
He has 121 strikeouts and 8 walks. 2 of those walks are intentional.
Yeah, he's incredible. Ken Giles has been struggling a bit. Matt Bush struggled on Friday, and he even said, like, it was crazy. Matt Bush was like, you think about, because he's obviously had quite a journey, you think about, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to be able to support my fiance? Stuff like that. So his confidence was shaken a little bit. He came back, had a good outing on Sunday, got the save. Yeah, Brandon Maurer, like, get enough already here. Let's get Brad Hand back in that role. That's all I got to say, guys. Any worries about Ken Giles?
I'm not particularly concerned about Ken Giles. And the whole Matt Bush thing, the great thing for him is that they don't have anybody else that's good.
Keone Kella. Keone Kella has good. Keone Kella. He's got good numbers. They kept him down in the minors at the start of the season because he was like bad for the team. So
right.
It would surprise me if he became the closer, but just got to throw out names. All right. All right then. Let's talk about some streaking hitters. We talked about Mancini. We talked about Broxton. Two outfielders that are for deeper leagues, Curtis Granderson and Michael Taylor. Interested in either of them?
More interested in Taylor than I am in Granderson.
Yeah, but we've seen enough of both of these guys that I can't get super excited about either. Taylor has some power, speed, value, but the plate discipline's just been such a bad thing for him that it's hard to get excited.
Are you excited about Brandon Phillips? He homered Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
No, not particularly. If he was a shortstop, maybe, but not at second base.
And Jonathan Scope has been batting third recently for the Orioles. Justin Bour sat against a lefty on Saturday. Not sure what that was all about. Joey Gallo's been a little bit banged up, but guess who I'm putting back in my lineup? I'm putting
DeLuna to Shields.
I am putting him back in there because he steals bases.
Yeah, you're going to be disappointed. I want to know how many stolen bases DeLuna to Shields has on your bench this year versus how many he has on your active roster.
Yeah, well, I should stop benching him. That's the point.
I want to put DeLuna to Shields and Eric Young on two opposite ends of the room and then add him in between them. And see which one he goes to.
I actually think Eric Young might be getting replaced by Ben Revere. Not by me, by Mike Socha.
That's okay. He fits the profile.
Mike Socha. Ben Revere
he fits the profile. Ben Revere slide right into your lineup.
He was by Eric Young before Eric Young. But you see how desperate people can be for steals. DeLuna Shields is a hell of a base stealer, and he's really not that bad of a hitter. Like, if he were playing regularly, DeLuna Shields should be owned in every Roto League.
Well, I don't know what he'd be hitting if he was playing regularly.
Also, Malik Smith is playing regularly. You can just have him.
If I can't have him, he's taken in this league, or I would have him. If I can't have him, I don't want nobody, baby. So the Angels facing 6 lefties. I talked about that. That's good for Cameron Maben. Were you going to say something about Justin Bour sitting against a lefty?
Tyler Moore's been hot. They want to get his bat in the lineup when they can.
Okay. More hitters. Mark Reynolds, he's really been bad for a while now, and he's over 90% owned. And he's got 6 road games this week, Mark Reynolds. Do you think people should be dropping Mark Reynolds?
we are benching Mark Reynolds.
For the first time.
For the first time in a while. But yeah, I haven't really been bought into Mark Reynolds anyway, so I don't mind sitting him for sure, and dropping him at first base isn't the worst idea. He has a 794 OPS over the last 38 games, which is fine, but...
In a 12-team league where you don't have a corner infielder, yeah, I think you should drop him.
Eric Thames homered in four straight games, and since then, eight games since homering in four straight games, he's batting 103 with one extra base hit, two walks, and 12 strikeouts. Eric Thames is probably driving fantasy owners crazy. He's got pretty good matchups this week. Starter sit Thamesy.
You got to start him.
Starting him. But he's in Cincinnati.
We got 1 week. If he has another ice cold week, then I'm probably benching him next week.
All right. Thanks for trading for him, Heath, and completely jinxing him a few months
ago. Yeah, I've almost totally ruined his value. I'm wondering how much longer it will be before his OPS and Travis Shaw's OPS intersect.
Double dongs or double steals over the weekend. Cody Bellinger homered twice yesterday. Chris Taylor stole two bases against Colorado on Sunday. That now gives him 10 steals and 12 attempts. Chris Taylor, however, is one for his last 18. He seems to be alternating good weeks and bad weeks. This is a kind of an interesting player. What would you tell Chris Taylor owners? Would you tell them they should drop him for Franklin Barreto?
Yes, I would. And we've been accused of hating Chris Taylor all year long.
Oh, you do?
And not giving him enough credit. And that's probably fair. But now is not the time I'm going to change my tune when he's won for his last 18.
Yeah, but the steals, he still gives you some production. But all right, fair enough. Matt Olson homered twice at the White Sox. Whatever. And Brian Goodwin is 4% owned. Brian Goodwin in his last 14 days is batting .342 with four home runs for the Nationals. He has 7 walks to 11 strikeouts. And again, Brian Goodwin, 4% owned. He sits against lefties, I believe, or he's just not good against them. Only one lefty on the schedule. They play 7 games. I don't know. 4% owned? Could you do worse than Brian Goodwin?
You could definitely do worse. But
who's worse? Matt Olson is worse.
Probably. I think the A's had three rookies homer on Saturday.
They did.
I can't see Brian Goodwin as much more than an only guy, though.
You know who's worse? Chris Carter.
Chris Carter is worse.
We're talking about people on Major League rosters right now.
Probably Tyler Austin as well.
Yeah, he's probably worse. Yeah, the Yankees DFA'd Chris Carter, which brings us to news and notes. Drew Smyly hoping to return just after the All-Star break. Julio Urias needs shoulder surgery. He's out 12 to 14 months.
Ugh. Well, he'll still only be, what, 18 by the time he gets back?
Yeah, this is...
It's bad. It's a bad injury. The specific type of shoulder injury that he had, I think it ended. This is the one that ended Johan Santana's career.
Oh boy,
he was much older, obviously. But
I was gonna say, if you own Julio Urias in Dynasty, you're scared to death that he's just never a good pitcher in the majors.
Yeah, would you drop him in a Dynasty? Would you be okay dropping Urias in a Dynasty league?
I would drop him in a keeper league where there's only a certain number of people I could keep, but in a true Dynasty league where you can keep your entire roster, no, I would not.
All right. As Drupal Cabrera wants a trade, so we're hoping that they call up Ahmed Rosario.
Can major league teams trade with teams from Japan? Because nobody else wants him.
Somebody might want his Drupal Cabrera. You never know.
Chris, do you want his Drupal Cabrera?
I don't think I could afford him.
Azer?
I mean, my team's got Didi Gregorius. Why we don't even need Franklin Barreto.
Right. Yeah, I don't need Ezra Cabrera.
No.
So no, nobody wants him.
The Mets are ready to be sellers, coincidentally, according to Buster Olney. Aaron Hicks is out 3 to 4 weeks with a rib cage injury. Jacoby Ellsbury might be activated today. The Brewers signed Stephen Vogt.
This might be kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Like I know we've done this Manny Pena thing and this Jet Bandy thing, but there's a chance that in like 2 to 3 weeks, Stephen Vogt's a top 10 catcher.
Well, I would expect he's going to play pretty regularly, and I never got around to updating my catcher rankings after he was dropped, and so he's still number 15 for me. I actually feel okay about that now with him in Milwaukee.
He is not a very good baseball player, guys.
I think he's okay.
Do you know where the Brewers play?
Okay, I mean, if that's the basis of it, fine. Would you go with Tom Murphy or Stephen Vogt?
Murphy.
All right.
Yeah, but we'll see if Murphy starts getting more playing time.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he will, but you probably want to sit Addison Russell this week. He hurt his shoulder. He's going to miss at least one game. His throwing shoulders bothered him on and off for the last two seasons. Dallas Keuchel likely out until after the All-Star break. Yasiel Puig dealing with a hamstring injury. Starlin Castro had a shot in his wrist, and the wrist has been bothering Castro for about 6 weeks. The Astros sent Joe Musgrove to the minors. And Castro still might play today, by the way, but he got a shot. Musgrove to the minors. Michael Brantley should be back this week. Nomar Mazara has a bruised forearm. Joey Gallo has a sore hamstring. And Carlos Gonzalez missed the weekend series with a sore shoulder, but Carlos Gonzalez is improving. All right, it's time to talk about pitchers. Studs being studs, part one. Jacob DeGrominiation. He's been very good lately. Last three starts, two earned runs in 25 innings, but only 19 strikeouts. Now, a lot of swinging strikes, but the strikeouts haven't been there. So I'm guessing no concerns about DeGrom.
And this is also a situation where he's got as many strikeouts as walks and hits combined. So part of that is he just hasn't faced very many batters.
All right. Johnny Cueto, I'm putting him in studs being studs, but only three strikeouts. But, you know, it's a good start. Seven innings, one run against the Mets. And that's two good starts in a row with low Ks for Cueto. Okay, whatever. Garrett Cole.
I'm totally fine with it. I want to see the results get better. He's been striking out people all season and not having great results. So I'm not worried about the strikeouts.
Are you buying that Garrett Cole is, again, a must start?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
San Francisco this week, so heck yeah. Corey Kluber, my goodness, since coming off the DL, Kluber's 3-0 with a 1.29 ERA, 6 walks, 52 strikeouts in 35.
I'm not sure his breaking ball's ever looked better than it does right now.
Well, he's throwing it more than he's ever thrown it before, too.
All right, Kluber Lang.
What happens when you get old?
Alex Wood, the only pitcher with a higher ground ball rate than Alex Wood is Dallas Keuchel. Now, Wood doesn't technically qualify, but...
Does Keuchel still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure he does. But Alex Wood's been amazing. He had a great start against the Rockies. I mean, again, more than a strikeout per inning and the second highest ground ball rate in baseball, like that's recipe for being a Cy Young award winner.
Didn't we just talk about, you already jinxed Dallas Keuchel with a Cy Young thing. You can do that to Alex Wood too?
I said this about Alex Wood before this weekend start, so.
I would still, like I expect Alex Wood to get hurt sometime in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
And I'm the one jinxing him?
So I would, if you can get somebody to give you top 25 starting pitcher value, I'd be glad to make that trade.
All right, Yu Darvish had an awesome start, and so did Masahiro Tanaka. And Tanaka, you know, quite frankly, I don't think it was quite as good but he did have 22 swinging strikes. Not quite as good as the line. They played some really good defense behind him, but 22 swinging strikes is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I don't know, like, they played some good, he gave up 3 hits and struck out 9. He had 22 swinging strikes. That doesn't sound like the defense behind
it. No. He should have, it was a great start. It just, I think, maybe probably could have given up like 1 or 2 runs. Still a start where we would have been like, oh, he pitched great. So it wasn't even worth mentioning, what I said. He still pitched really well. It was a really fun game. Those two guys, Tanaka and Darvish, obviously huge in Japan, faced each other for the first time. They combined for 15 scoreless innings, I think with 5 hits. It was really cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so he's at the White Sox this week. Tanaka, start or sit?
Starting him. I think I've lost less faith in him than Scott or Heath.
I am going to start him most likely.
All right. Studs being studs, part two. Sequels are never as good. Sonny Gray, 91% owned. He's been pretty good lately, but I feel like he struggles against tough matchups, Sonny Gray, but he has Atlanta this week, so.
Yep, must start.
At home. Irvin Santana. My goodness, Irvin Santana, make up your mind. Last 10 starts, 5 starts of 5 or more earned runs. That's terrible. The other 5 starts, he's given up 1 earned run combined. Irvin Santana's at Kansas City this week.
Starting him.
Yeah, Chris, agree? Disagree?
Yeah. I'll let you know okay. If I disagree.
Jacob Farina. I love Farina. Farina's delicious. Jacob Faria, though.
I don't know what Farina is.
Anybody know what Farina is?
No.
It's like cream of wheat. It's very good.
Cream of wheat.
Just Google Farina.
Is this like?
My mom used to make this for me when I was sick.
Cream of wheat is not something that's ever sounded particularly appealing.
Farina needs some sugar. You have to add a little sugar to it, but it's actually quite delicious.
What's the difference between farina and oatmeal?
I hate oatmeal, so that's the difference.
But it looks very, very, very similar.
Yeah, I don't know. It's different. I don't know much about oatmeal. It's kind of like hot cereal, I guess. I don't know. It's good. Jacob Faria is really good. Are we convinced that Faria is a mainstay in fantasy rotations?
I'm not 100% convinced. He could have a very bad start against Baltimore this week, and it wouldn't surprise me, but he needs to be owned in all formats right now.
All right. He just had a good start against Baltimore, but that was at home. Jason Vargas. Are we convinced that Jason Vargas is a mainstay in rotations?
I would very much not be surprised if Jason Vargas was being dropped in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
Like, there's just never been any explanation for it, and now the strikeouts are gone, too.
Yeah. It's possible that in 3 weeks he has, but it's going to take that long because he's basically been Santana, right? Or a little better.
Would you have the guts to drop him to drop Vargas for Snell?
No.
No?
Okay. I mean, like...
what's the matter,
Chris? There's no reason to believe that Jason Vargas is some dramatically improved pitcher, right?
Other than his half a season of production, no.
Like, you don't believe that ERA is the best indicator of a pitcher's talent level moving forward.
I'm not saying he's a 2.2 pitcher.
Right, but what do you think he is?
I don't know, but I'm not just going to drop a guy with a 2.2 ERA. Like I was never saying we should drop Irvin Santana.
Because your personal favorite pitching stat for predicting future performance is Sierra, right?
Uh-huh.
Is a 4.53 Sierra.
Right. That doesn't mean it's going to start happening tomorrow.
Okay. It's going to start happening at some point.
So you would like to drop Jason Vargas for Blake Snell?
I wouldn't be opposed to it, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't... I guess that's being consistent once again, but I think you're going to look kind of silly dropping a guy that's got a 11-3 with a 2.29 ERA after one of his best starts.
Now, many of us know that the All-Star game is in Miami, and the CBS crew, not me though, will be at the All-Star game. Not everybody, but many will be a part of the All-Star game. Any festivities? No, that's not happening. All right, go to the All-Star game if you can. Buy a ticket. I would just want to know, like, how are you going to feel if you sit down in Marlins Park and you're watching the All-Star game and Jason Vargas is squaring off against Max Scherzer to start the game?
Marlins legend Jason Vargas.
Yeah. Like, Jason Vargas is going to pitch in the All-Star game, right?
He could start in the All-Star game.
He might be invited to the festivities.
He might be Sale. But no,
I'd be pretty shocked if Jason Vargas actually pitched in the All-Star.
He should not be starting. I would not make that suggestion.
Okay. Jay Happ was good. Jameson Taillon was good. Felix Hernandez was good enough, but boy, he gives up a lot of hits, man. He's given up 47 hits this year in 32 and two-thirds. He gave up 8 hits in 6 innings against the Astros. They are the Astros. And John Lackey had his second
We're starting Felix
start.
This week, right?
Philadelphia.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... Those hits, like, I understand that you could look at, like, a 382 BABIP and be like, he's getting unlucky, but at this point in his career, I'm not sure that it's bad luck. I feel like he's throwing more strikes because he's not walking guys, and consequently, he's getting pummeled. Because I don't believe
bad luck to an extent. Like, even someone who gives up a lot of hits will have a BABIP 50 to 60 points lower than Felix Hernandez currently is.
Okay. All right. That's all I want to talk about there. Studs being duds, damn you. Steven Strasburg, 5 or more in runs in 2 of his last 3 starts. 3 straight starts of less than 6 innings. Strasburg is a 3.57 ERA. Well, let me group a few players together. Their ERAs are a little higher than you'd like. Maybe it's mostly just these two. Strasburg and Archer. Do you have concerns about Strasburg and Archer?
Not particularly.
No.
All right. Julio Teheran, another bad start at home, but he's at Oakland this week. Start or sit Teheran?
Start.
Probably going to start him. He's been awful.
Yeah, Brandon McCarthy, 86% owned at San Diego this week. We are willing to overlook a bad start from McCarthy this past weekend?
I'll start him this week.
I would rather start Teron than McCarthy, but I'll probably start both.
All right, Tanner Roark is interesting. So he gave up 5 earned runs in the first inning. He had some bad luck in this inning. And he said he's hoping he figured something out. He pitched really well after that first inning. He's hoping he figured something out, but, you know, Roark blames his mechanics. I don't know. He's been terrible. 5.15 ERA.
This was not a bad start for Tanner Roark. He had a terribly unlucky first inning.
Yeah, and then he rebounded. But when you don't strike guys out a lot, you leave yourself, I guess, a little vulnerable.
You go through stretches
for sure.
Like this.
It's the same thing we say about Stroman.
So Roark and now Pineda. Pineda's been awful lately, or great, but you know him. He's on the road this week at Houston. I'm not sure how you could start Pineda. Pineda, nope, Roark, Lance Lynn. How droppable are these guys?
I'm not dropping any of them.
I'm probably not dropping any of them, but I'm going to be consistent and say Lance Lynn. It's not as crazy as it seems to consider dropping Lance Lynn.
I feel like Roark is the first one I drop on this list.
Because of the lack of strikeouts?
Yeah, because he's got a spotty track record. And I don't know. Felt like he got
all these guys have spotty track records, though.
Yes, true. I guess because of the lack of strikeouts, yes.
I think Roark is very likely in the next 2 months to go on a stretch of 4 or 5 starts where he gives up like 3 runs for all of them and picks up 4 wins in a row.
Okay, then I won't drop him because I don't own him. Fringy starting pitchers. Let's take a look at who we want to own here. Part one, 65 to 79% owned. We have Bauer. We have Wainwright. And we have Kyle Freeland. Anybody want any of these bums?
No.
Yeah, I'm passing on all of those.
I will say this about Wainwright, 73% owned. This is the second year in a row he's been a lot better at home than on the road. So if you get him with a good matchup at home, maybe you start Adam Wainwright. I don't know.
Right. It's a good part.
Yeah. Fringy starting pitchers part two. Tyler Chatwood was awful at the Dodgers, and he's at Arizona this week. Jordan Zimmermann somehow was bad at the Padres, and he's off my team.
He is bad.
Yeah.
Francisco Liriano, all he had to do was stop striking guys out, and he's put together a couple of good starts now. Actually, maybe a little bit more than that. But still just a ridiculously high whip, bad ERA.
He was in the zone a lot yesterday early. He was actually getting ahead in counts, which is a weird thing for Liriano. Mm-hmm. But he would be my least favorite in this of this group. I have no interest in him at all.
Oh, I have way more interest in him than Jordan Zimmermann.
Well, then there's Joe Ross also in this group. Who's your most favorite?
Ross, pretty
Joe
easily.
Ross, yeah.
Yeah.
Ross, then Chatwood. Zimmermann and Liriano were both at the bottom.
Chris?
Ross, Liriano, Chatwood, Zimmermann.
Any interest in owning the following players? Derek Holland, Mike Montgomery, Francis Martez. Not sure what the future holds for him. Jeremy Hellickson, Jason Hamill, Denelson Lamet, Alex Meyer, Patrick Corbin, Seth Lugo, Mike Foltynewicz.
I have some interest in a lot of these guys, but they're almost all dependent on who they're going to be pitching against next. Like Martez, we think is probably going back to the minors or the bullpen, right?
Yeah, he seems a little dicey if you want to pick him up. He's not pitching very well to begin with.
Lamet, I have a lot of interest in. Corbin, I have a lot of interest in.
You do?
I still think Meyer has some upset.
I just dropped Francis Martez to pick up Malik Smith, who I'm starting over Michael Conforto. So
Patrick Corbin, you have interest in? Patrick Corbin had a 5.38 ERA until his last two starts, which were both against the Phillies.
I appreciate him figuring things out just in time. He's a spark.
He doesn't get the Phillies. You know who else is spark is Mike Montgomery, and Montgomery has, you know, been solid, and he's at Cincinnati this week. His last two starts have been at the Mets and home against the Padres, so it was a good week to pick up Montgomery for those two starts. People were right on that. Now, is he somebody that we're going to keep, or can we dump Montgomery?
I would drop Montgomery for Snell, Finnegan, Rodon, any of those guys.
I think Lamet might be my favorite of this group.
Yeah? All right. And we've talked about Alex Meyer, who's got a lot of upside, but he just is so inconsistent.
Yep.
Which we saw last week. He's either great or terrible, it seems, Alex Meyer. All right, then. Deep leagues. We'll finish up here. We'll read some emails afterwards. I'm names: Daniel Gossett, R.A. Dickey, Austin Beebens Dirks, Jarrell Cotton, Jose Urena, Parker Bridwell, Luis Perdomo, Luis Castillo, Mark Leiter Jr.
Castillo would be the one I'm most interested in, followed by Cotton, I guess.
I remain interested in Perdomo. The strikeout rate's really good for a guy who is an elite ground ball pitcher. You know, he's been between 55 and 60% all season, and he's been up and down, but I still like Perdomo.
And I know we generally only do the prospect report when Scott is here, but we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Tim Tebow has been promoted.
Yeah, it's all the way up to high A.
That power is not replaceable. It's an actual quote.
80 grade
power.
He's honestly not in the top 100 in the South Atlantic League in slugging percentage.
I honestly wonder if they just ran out of... I don't know if the attendance and started to sag or something.
I believe they own their high A affiliate and they don't own their low A affiliate.
That's right up in Port St. Lucie. Let's take a day trip. Let's go up there.
No, the Tebow fans in that area are going to go to like every game. This was a brilliant move by the Mets.
That's actually why Scott White's not here today.
Well, he's not a Tebow fan. He's a Georgia fan. He probably hates Tebow. But
he likes Tebow.
No, he likes Tebow.
He likes Tebow? He's a Georgia fan. How do you like Tebow?
We've had many fights over the viability of Tim Tebow's major league career.
There's an argument to be made for the viability of Tim Tebow's major league career?
There is.
You know what?
That will be Tuesday's edition of What's Bothering Scott White.
No, I won't bring it up. No way. No way. So, unfortunately, Scott's not here. We have a lot of questions about Cody Bellinger. And Scott traded Cody Bellinger, actually, in the podcast league. I'm sure he'll want to talk about it tomorrow, so we'll save
it. Money where his mouth is.
It was a good trade. I think he did a nice job. So, Bellinger questions and more. Steven from Kokomo, Indiana. Grade the trade. I give Bellinger and Jose Peraza in a 20-team league. Bellinger and Jose Peraza for Zach Greinke.
I definitely do it in a 12-team league. The 20-team aspect makes Peraza much more valuable than he would be in a 12-team league. I would still give it a C+.
I give it a B-.
Next is from Javier. 12-team head-to-head money league. There were instances where three team managers dropped the wrong players. Two teams have done this twice already, and the commissioner placed all their drop players back onto their teams. I understand mistakes happen, but I believe limits should be imposed. Shouldn't the team managers be responsible for their own adds and drops? Thoughts, please. P.S. Bellinger owner here. Totally don't need him. Replacing him with raisins.
I mean, you can come up with a rule for your league where, like, if it happens between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. on a Friday or Saturday night, you redo it. But other than that, you don't really have any excuse here, guys.
Adam will always fix the issue. That's why he gets the hashtag commish show during our drafts. I think if you accidentally drop somebody, you never get them back.
I disagree. Completely disagree.
I know you do.
I'll give you one. You get one.
Okay, here's the thing. If you accidentally drop someone and you want that player back, you need to send an email to the league immediately saying, oops, I messed up. And if you did that, I will pretty much put that player back on your team every single time. I don't really see why not.
Yeah, I will try to add them.
Well, you're not in my league, you're not.
And reply to your email with an LOL, sorry.
This is from Roger. Dear Stephen, George, and Francis. Stephen, George, and Francis. Huh.
Are these Astros?
Oh.
I don't know.
Probably.
George and Francis are. I don't know who Stephen would be.
Steven, 12-team points league. Thanks for making me think that those were Astros, jerk. John Gray is on my DL. He's coming back this week. Who should I drop? Mike Leake, Irvin Santana, Jay Happ, Jeff Samardzija, or Sonny Gray?
Oof. Leake.
Yeah.
Oh, you said Leake. Okay, I thought you said like, and then you were going to go into something. No, Leake would be your answer?
Yep.
Are we sure we want to drop Leake for John Gray?
I would rather have John Gray.
Upside's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, there's upside in half of his starts, but are you going to feel comfortable starting Gray at home?
No. But it sounds like you've got enough pitchers to where you can have him on your bench when he's at home.
All right. Micah in Atlanta. I'm thinking about dropping Christian Yelich for Carlos Gomez or Ben Gamel in a 10-team categories league. Would you drop Yelich for Gamel or Gomez?
I would not. Not even think about it.
It is disappointing that Yelich is not stealing more, given that he is not hitting for as much power. And the lack of power is not particularly surprising. But he's got plenty of BABIP regression to come. This is a 355 career BABIP guy. I wouldn't drop him yet.
Yeah, the thing about Yelich, though, is in the outfield landscape, I never got a chance to talk about this on Friday. I was planning on it. If he's just typical Christian Yelich, is he really anything special? Is he really in a 10-team league somebody that you can't just stream for the hot hand?
Well, what do we mean by typical Christian Yelich?
He's like the Xander Bogarts of outfielders, except he didn't do something great this year.
He doesn't excel in any category, and this is a categories league.
That's fair, except he's hit 300 each of the last two seasons in a league context where nobody really hits 300.
Yeah, he's good in average. I overlooked
that. Probably, once his BABIP corrects, I would still expect him to be 290, 300.
And he's on a 100-run pace, too, right? So that's another... Okay, that was... I take it back. He doesn't.
And if the batting average regresses, he'll have more stolen base opportunities. I think he could get to 20 still. And if he goes 15-20 with 100 runs and a 300 average, that's still a very valuable piece.
All righty. From Antoine.
Go Marlins.
Having a hard time figuring out who to keep and drop in a 10-team categories league. Maben, Barreto, Chris Taylor, and Boer. Who do I drop? Maben, Barreto, Chris Taylor, or Boer?
I would drop Taylor.
I would drop Taylor. We hate Chris Taylor.
Yeah, I guess so. And finally, Adam from Rochester Hills, Michigan. Dear life, Honey Nut Cheerios, Frosted Mini Wheats, and Grape Nuts.
What the hell are Grape Nuts?
I have no idea. What the hell are Frosted Mini Wheats?
Frosted Mini Wheats? Are you kidding
me? Those are like the
best cereal listed here?
I mean,
I am kidding you, by the way, but they are the third best.
They destroy the roof of your mouth when you eat them, but other than that,
you think Grape Nuts. You think they're better than Life and Honey Nut Cheerios?
Yes.
Oh, God. Give me a break.
Yeah, I don't eat any of these cereals.
Life is amazing.
Not nearly
life
enough
is
sugar
good
in this group. But I also don't eat cereal for breakfast. Cereal's a dessert.
What's your dessert cereal, Chris?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat. Except Golden Grahams are clearly better. Rest of season, rank these leagues in a categories league. Polanco, Schebler, Michael Taylor, Brandon Belt, Randall Grichuk, Shinsu Chu. Gregory Polanco, Schebler, Michael Taylor, Belt, Grichuk, Chu.
I think I still have to go Polanco, Schebler, Belt, Chu, Taylor, Grichuk.
Polanco, Schebler, Chu, Belt, Taylor, Grichuk.
Okay. So Polanco and Schebler are 1 and 2. And then Chris likes Belt more than Chu and more than you. And Heath likes Chu more than Belt. And I still don't really know what Grape Nuts are. But
were you trying to go for like a Dr. Seuss thing there?
No, I wasn't. I'm just,
okay.
You know, that could. I'm just going to end the show. I'm going to tell you guys something real quick. So getting married in less than 2 weeks now. There's a group of families that get together every time someone in the family gets married. And they have a steak dinner. So mine is coming up. And this is part of my fiance's like group of family friends. Mine is coming up. I went to one like 6 months ago for somebody else who was getting married. And there were like 25, 30 people there.
Okay.
I just got a text message. There are 10 people coming to mine.
Right.
Like, that sucks. Like, that's awful. 10
people. Well, that's because you didn't invite half of them to the wedding.
No, they're all invited to the wedding. And they go every time. Like, they're invited to every single steak dinner.
This is her side of the family, right?
Yeah, they don't really know me, so that's
well,
part
that kind of makes sense. They probably don't really.
They're supposed to come. What, they don't like me?
Yeah.
They barely know me. How do they not like me?
Well, maybe they listen to the podcast.
10. That's pathetic. All right.
So 40% of her family approves of this wedding.
No, all of her family will be there. It's her family friends that they're not coming. So, I don't know. It's disappointing. For Creed, I'm Am. See you later.